It's that time of the day. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning student podcast covering all things Golden Eagles. Welcome to 4th Street on a spooktacular day. Here on the show, as we have all the guys dressed up in some form of a costume here. It's a special day. Charlie has on a Hawaiian fit. I'm a cool cat jive turkey from the 70s. Dima is Bruce Arians. Jackson is an inmate. And, of course, we have Nathan as the Dark Knight. And as, with us today, we have a special interview, which we're going to hop into right now, matter of fact, with Gabe Montenegro, who is here with us. And it's great to have you on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's awesome.
Of course, especially on the Halloween. Gabe, who is second all-time in hits in program history, has the most at-bats here at Southern Miss and the most singles in program history in the baseball program. And just jumping into it, man, Gabe, could you just talk about what your career has been like now that it's come to an end, and just talk about your story career here?
Yeah, no, it's been awesome. It's been a great 6 years. It's been a lot of up and downs, but like right now, just reflecting on everything, you know, you always remember the good parts, you know, the ever since like I redshirted, you know, it was like a little bit of a struggle, but you know, you just remember, you know, your teammates, the coaches, and all the good parts about it.
And what's that process been like for you just in these past few months, you know, like understanding that, you know, you won't be able, especially with fall practice happening right now, that you're not out there with those guys?
You know, it's definitely tough because you just, you know, you go about your day, and I have so much time now. It's crazy. But, you know, and I'm still living with my brother. So, and he like goes out to practice every day, and I just sit there and be like, you know. I can't miss this. I'll tell you something, though. I don't miss waking up on Sundays early to scrimmage. I'll tell you that.
I mean, you talked about some of the good times. What memories kind of stick out to you when you're reflecting about your career here?
Mainly the trips, the away games, you know, going on, you know, the airplanes and the other bus rides and the hotels and, you know, just spending time with the teammates. And that's mainly like the best parts that I remember.
What's like your most exciting victory that you always look back to and you're like, man, that was the best moment?
I was against LSU.
Yeah.
that will always be probably one of the greatest moments I'm going to experience.
What was it like? Awesome. Just could you just walk us through that, kind of just like a walk down memory lane?
Well, you know, that after that first game against them, the one like we lost that, you know, the last inning, and then after that, that was tough to come back from. So having to come back from the bottom, and then end up winning that regional and beat LSU twice, and I remember that last inning, I was so nervous, like it was, because you know that they could easily come back. Mm-hmm. So then when Tyler Stewart came in and then just shoved, it was just like a big relief. You know, it was just like all the pressure just was mounting enough. Yeah.
What was that like, you know, stepping up to the plate in moments like that? There were so many close games in y'all's postseason run. You know, how did you handle that pressure, or like help teammates handle that pressure? Because, you know, you've got some experience, but maybe some younger guys who didn't have that experience and had to step up.
Yeah. You know, at that point, you really want to think about just how, you know, how thankful you are to be in that situation. You know, like we came from the bottom, and like no one is expecting us to be there. And you know, if you just think about how special that situation is, and then how, you know, how awesome it is to just play baseball with your friends, that pressure is just gonna go away, you know.
And we just played your song, people listening on the radio. I bet that gave you some, you know, boost when you're stepping up to the plate. Can you talk about the reaction, you know, you got? It seemed like people really bought into that, and, you know, how much that meant to you.
Yeah, it meant a lot because, you know, when you're playing, you try to just, you know, zone in. But when you just see and then hear how people react, to the song, and then when you come out to bat, you know, it's an incredible feeling, and it just makes you want to do even better. It actually puts a lot of pressure off because you know that like everyone has your back.
There's a lot of great memories last year, but something I didn't even know until I read it, Andrew Abbedee reported about your whole situation last year, how you almost didn't even get to play. Kind of reflecting on how the season went and like the memories you did make in your final season, you know, how do you view how that whole situation played out?
Yeah, like it was insane because I went home for the summer and I had to renew my visa because it expires every like couple years. And it's ever since COVID, like the U.S. Embassy in Guatemala, it's like, I know it's been tough to get like for them to give you the chance to renew it. And they like denied it a couple times. And like I was stuck in Guatemala for like maybe a little bit less than half of the fall. And so then just being able to finally get it, coming back and being able to play the final season, it just, you know, it was just incredible.
And I mean, you're done with baseball now, but you're still at USM. Can you talk about just, you know, what went into the decision to stay at USM and maybe, you know, what led to you staying here?
At this point, Hattiesburg just feels like home. You know, it just feels like it's a great place to be. Like I love the community. I love the school, and they have great programs here for what I want to do, which is teach Spanish. And you know, my brother's still here, and so like we're gonna end up like I graduate the same time that he does. So then just everything just lined up for me just to stay here, and I'm just grateful for it.
You mentioned having Rodrigo, your brother, here, and I believe you said you actually still live with him. Could you just walk us back and talk about just how it felt being able to play with your brother one last year in baseball?
Yeah, it was awesome because we grew up playing together on the same team. We played in high school together for a couple of years. And just to have him here for my last season, you know, being able to just experience everything with him, because like I always told him how great it was to play here and to go to school here, and just for him to just get that opportunity to come here, and then having just seeing him experience all the great things about Southern Miss, it was amazing.
And just talking about that, now you're moving on, like you said, but now you have to watch him play baseball. And when he's had to watch you play baseball, you know, for numerous of years here before he came here also. Can you just talk about what that first game may feel like for you to be like, man, I can't step up to that plate now, you know?
I have thought about it, and it's going to be tough, you know, but I know that it's going to be a great experience getting to both experience the Pete as a player and then as a fan, and I'm just excited to go and go crazy on the roost with everyone in there.
That was actually on our list. We were gonna ask, are you gonna be in the roost? We know the Guatemalan flag is still gonna be flying out there, but you know, what are you looking forward to, you know, most this season, kind of being able to get that different perspective?
Yeah, it's gonna be pretty fun, I think. I know that the fans are, you know, amazing when they're watching the games, and I'm gonna be that crazy fan that just goes nuts on everybody.
Yeah, we were kind of talking about it even before you got here, but would you even maybe be in the treehouse in the roost this upcoming season? I know they fly the flag up there. Do you think you'd get a special spot up there or something?
I'm gonna grab that flag and I'm gonna run across the field in the middle of an inning.
Oh man.
And just assuming you've kind of been around, have you been kind of going to fall practices, and maybe, you know, what have you seen from the squad this year?
I have been to a couple, and you know, it's fun to watch the new players coming in. There's a lot of good players that came in that transferred, and it's just you know, a good feeling to know that they're gonna do great. You know, they have it.
Yeah, and I mean, before we let you go, because we know you got class. I mean, there seemed to be a lot of, like, positive reaction, you know. I know you were giving away some of your old gear. You know, did you have any interactions with fans that really kind of stuck with you, you know, after processing, you know, such a tough loss in the Super Regionals?
Yeah, I just, it's tough just coming out of like your final season and like kind of giving away your stuff. But it's nice to know that there's fans out there that, like, you know, appreciated everything, and it just felt like incredible to know that they like were there the whole time, and it's nice knowing that they're gonna have a little bit, they're gonna have some of, you know, some of those memories that, you know, I experienced.
Kind of circling back a little bit, you're about to go to a Spanish class. You mentioned that your goal is to actually be a Spanish teacher. So what I want to ask is maybe where that passion for teaching came from, because obviously one of the most important jobs you can be.
Yeah, I just think that throughout the, you know, this my baseball career here in the U.S., people really like learning about other cultures and learning about other languages. And so I just want to be able to kind of open like students' minds to more than just their own like niche, their own little community, and open up their minds to just new cultures, and just be able to teach them just another language, because it just will provide them with so much more opportunities.
And just adding to that, being a Spanish teacher in your future, as you stated that before, you will be in the education system. So will that come back full circle for you, maybe in landing you a coaching position or something? Are you interested in that on the high school level or amateur level in the education system right there?
Maybe down the road, for sure, because, you know, baseball has always been, you know, my passion and the thing that I love the most, besides my family. But, you know, and in the end, like, I do think that I'm going to, you know, come back and try to, you know, get more involved in the sport, try helping out others.
Of course. So, lastly, Gabe, we want to thank you for coming on and talking to us.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Make sure you get to your class. So, for the people that didn't know, we opened up with our interview so Gabe could get to his class. So, thanks for coming on, Gabe.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
That we'll see you at the Roost.
Yeah, we'll see you at the Roost.
Sure. The flag.
Of course. That shall be interesting. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Gabe Montenegro, second all-time in hits for Southern Miss here, most at-bats and most singles in program history. We'll be back with our eagle eye and talk a little bit of Southern Miss football, and then we'll give out our flowers and our honorable mentions. We'll be back on 4th Street on a spooktacular day on Halloween here. Really, stay tuned.
This is 4th Street, and we got Mo Dogs on 88.5 this year.
Welcome back to our Halloween special for 4th Street. As I stated, we all have costumes on in our own unique fashion. We kind of dropped the ball.
We really dropped the ball.
Blame Charlie.
I dropped the ball.
Oh, man, I'm sorry for throwing you under the bus, Charlie.
Oh, man. Gabe looked at our costumes and said, you should have told me to dress up. He said he would have been a Border Patrol agent. So everybody missed that. Really, really sad on that.
Really sad, man. Depressing day. But, hey, at the end of the day, we get candy to treat ourselves after the show. So
yeah,
that's a good thing.
Do we really?
Yeah, man.
Where?
Seriously?
Yeah.
Where?
I'll just steal some.
I guess we gotta buy it.
Yeah, you are an inmate, man. You may have to give us something under the table, bro.
Hey, just go. You never know.
But yeah, so we're gonna hop into our eagle eye before this takes a left turn. So we'll start out with cross country. Charlie, you have some special stuff to say about cross country.
It took just a couple of months for Southern Miss to get a Sun Belt championship, and that goes to the cross country. They get the honors for doing being the first to do so. They brought back the trophy to Hattiesburg. Looks pretty nice. Saw Coach Gibson with Mr. Jeremy McClain this morning holding the trophy. Four Golden Eagles earned all-conference titles, and freshman Olivia Vozniak landed the Freshman of the Year and First Team honors as she led the squad with a third-place finish at the championships. Also, some strong outings from 4th Street guest Isabella Ross, who talked about it right before the event. She finished just behind Olivia for fifth place. Fifth place in the Sun Belt. Insane. Aaron Phelps landed ninth, and Smilia Kobe finished 11th. Ross also earned first team honors. Phelps landed on second team, and Kobe earned a spot on the third team. Also, shout out to seniors Caitlin seniors Caitlin Cartwright and Carlin Beal also posted personal best in the tournament. So just that's a mouthful, but literally every single person that competed pulled for Southern Miss. Like, they all had really great performances. So that was a way to do it. And I don't know what they have next. I know they have probably South Regionals, maybe.
Regionals.
Yeah. 2 weeks. Thanks, Nathan. So yeah, we'll keep an eye on them.
Yeah, and heading over to golf, continuing to excel in every fashion. They traveled to the Bahamas. We kind of joked that we were going with them. We did not end up going with them. Looks like Charlie just got back from the Bahamas over there.
No, Hawaii.
Did I mention I did not know you had been to Hawaii.
Yeah, I meant Hawaii.
That's crazy. Yeah. Right. Anyways, they went to the Bahamas for the White Sand Bahamas Invitational and flew away with a third-place finish. But Mr. Ryan Dupuis earned his second straight individual title as he finished first, 12 under par. Dupuis earned his first individual title last tournament of his career, last week at the Little Rock Invitational. And that does it for the men's golf this fall season. The Golden Eagles will not play again until February. And the women's golf team is currently hosting a tournament at the Hattiesburg Country Club for the first time since 2016. And the tournament concludes on Tuesday, so tomorrow.
Now, let's talk about my favorite sport in the whole world, volleyball. Southern Miss Volleyball played its last two matches of the season at home this weekend with a series sweep against Georgia State. The Golden Eagles beat the Panthers in consecutive sets Friday and has celebrated its seven seniors with the senior night festivities Saturday with a win in four sets. The wins improved the team to 16-8 overall and 8-4 in Sun Belt Conference play. Their four-win streak has given them a boost in the playoff picture as they are in the third seed in the West Division and tied with South Alabama in two games behind the number one and two seed in the division. They finished the regular season with two important road series, starting with Louisiana this Thursday and Friday, and then Old Dominion next week. The Raging Cajuns are 7-5 in conference play and on a four-game win streak of their own.
Thanks, Jackson. I know you really love volleyball.
I love volleyball, man.
But hey,
we should find some candy over there.
It actually is Austin's favorite sport. He was there. I mean, it looks like they're on a roll right now.
Yeah, they are on a roll. Like Jackson stated, a four-game win streak. These ladies look determined and ready for conference play in the conference tournament, which shall be interesting in about half a month. Oh, well, 2 weeks from now, I almost said half a month. But it shall be interesting. And it is also my favorite sport, Jackson.
Yeah. Hey, well,
what have you done for them?
We're going to talk about soccer now. And football wasn't the only team that beat Louisiana Thursday. I saw a sign that a fan was holding. It said ESPN, Eagles smoking that Cajun pack.
Man,
that was great. And Thursday, they really were smoking that Cajun pack, I'll say that. Golden Eagles soccer team earned just their second win in all of the season in Sun Belt play. They beat them 1-0 to earn a spot in the conference championship tournament. Like, they knocked Louisiana out with that win and got a spot in there. Blessing Kingsley, credit goes to her for scoring the lone goal of the game to send Southern Miss to postseason. And they're actually going to play pretty soon today against Georgia State at 7 p.m. So you can follow the game on Southern Miss Soccer's socials, and we might be keeping updated. I might, you know, tweet some stuff from the live stats. And if they win that match, they will advance to play against the number one seed, Georgia Southern, so going on to another Georgia school.
Yes, another Georgia school. And before I hop into basketball, I just want to state that this week for Southern Miss Athletics,
what a
week. I can't recall a week where I've seen just a clean sweep in all of the sports and events for the whole program, just from like you started with cross country, Charlie, to winning the championship to golf. Ryan Dupuis just going phenomenal. Two back-to-back weeks with first-place finishes. Like, how? That's so hard to do. And for him to do that is special. Jackson volleyball on the four-game win streak. And soccer, getting that win to boost him into the conference play, a much-needed win, that's very special. So I just want to give a round of applause for Southern Miss Athletics for this week that they've had. So I just wanted to state that before I got into basketball. As you know, basketball season starts this week with a couple of expedition matches in the Reed Green Coliseum. Starting first off with the Golden Eagles men's basketball squad tomorrow at 7 p.m. They take on Delta State, and then the Lady Eagles play Auburn University at Montgomery. Not the Auburn, but they have an expedition match on Wednesday at 6 p.m. And continuing on, both teams start their regular season Monday against William Carey, with the Lady Eagles starting at 11 a.m. and the men playing at 7 p.m. Make sure to stay tuned for all your basketball coverage with us on sm2media.com and on our social medias. And last but not least, we're transitioning over to football. Charlie, you said it. It was a 2-for-1 for Golden Eagles athletics, with soccer and football knocking them out later on in that day, as the Golden Eagles now sit at 3-1 in the conference. Wow. Which is, it's been a while for them sitting that high up in the conference. Right now, they're second in the conference, right there with South Isle. So that is interesting to see. But without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to you, Nathan. Let's play this rap, baby.
In a season that offense has been a struggle, the Golden Eagles had no problems in their Thursday night matchup against the Louisiana Lafayette Raging Cajuns. The offense did not give the fans much to cheer about early on, as Zach Wilkie would throw a pick on the first pass of the game. However, he showed a high level of maturity, as he would put that error right behind him and lead the offense to multiple scoring drives. The first score of the game would come after a defensive interception for the Eagles, ending in a Janari Dean rushing touchdown. After that, Frank Gore Jr. would have a play that took the college football world by storm, with a 53-yard bomb of a passing touchdown to Ty Mims. The offense kept pouring it on, as Zach Wilkie would find Jason Browning for a 76-yard passing touchdown. With a few more successful drives, the Golden Eagles gave themselves a whopping 29-11 lead going into half, their biggest FBS halftime lead of the season. Head coach Will Hall talks about his team's offensive performance on Thursday night.
Yeah, so, you know, we wanted to try to create some explosive plays offensively. That's something we've not been doing, and we were able to do that. You know, we hit Ty on the big one. We hit Brownlee on the big one. We had a methodical drive that I think was about 10 plays or so. We were good on third down. Zach made a big play on third down. We were 7 of 16 total, but a lot of those stops were late in the game. We were just running out the clock.
The offense would stall out in the second half, as they would only gain 55 total yards. But that is when the Nasty Bunch defense would show up. The defense would cause 6 turnovers in the second half, 3 being turnovers on downs. Still, the defense would come away with a fumble and 2 interceptions, with 1 being the game sealing 53-yard pick 6 by Nachon Brooks. Head coach Will Hall had some specific people to thank after the win.
Well, the first person I want to talk about, I'd like to talk about Jeremy McClain first, because he's a special dude to me. And, man, he's just a real guy. He never reacts. He always processes and then makes decisions. There's a lot of leaders to nowadays, especially in administration, that'll react. He never reacts. He always treats everybody right. He leads by example for everybody in the athletic department. And he's created an unbelievable vision for how we're supposed to act and how we're supposed to be. Me and him believe in treating people the exact same way. And then getting Dr. Paul, man, I've been a big Joe Paul fan before all this even happened. I live right across the street from his daughter. And me and Joe are a lot alike in a lot of ways. You know, we're not, as Dave said, we're not afraid to dream. We're not afraid to create a big vision and then jump out in front of everybody and be the first to grab the shovel and start digging.
This now pushes the Golden Eagles' regular season record to 5-3, keeping their Sun Belt championship hopes alive with only 4 games left in the season. Nathan Lee, 4th Street Sports.
Thank you so much, Nathan, for that wrap right there. And like Nathan said, the Golden Eagles are now 5-3, just on a 3-game winning streak right now, which, man, it's been a ride. It's been some crazy games. And this Thursday just seemed to bring those games around full circle. Just that first quarter in itself was just special to watch for the Golden Eagles. And just based off that, guys, just give me your first impressions on just the first quarter and just moving on right there in that complete game right there.
Yeah, I was just telling y'all before we came back, you know, I was walking up the stairs and I was like, I don't know what I wrote about. It feels like the game was like a week ago. But, you know, I think it's, you know, we all looked at each other up in the press box, and when Zach Wilkie threw that first interception, and we were like, oh, okay, well, this is how it's going to go, I guess. Yeah. And then after that, it was like, is this a Southern Miss competent offense on the field? You know, like it seemed like every time they got the ball, they had at least a chance at scoring. Where, you know, the weeks before that, it never feels like that, you know. And I said this on the post game video. You can go check it out on our YouTube site. Me, Jackson, and Nathan were there. It was almost a complete reverse of what we've been seeing all season. Whereas the whole season we've been watching the defense keep the offense in the game just long enough for them to do something. The offense was competent. The defense was helping, obviously, but the offense was scoring. The defense was stopping, and then the second half the defense was doing just enough for the offense, because the offense only scored what, 3 points in the second half. And then, obviously, the defense with the clutch pick six. But it was almost like a complete reverse. So there's still no real middle ground with the team. But I think as a Southern Miss fan, when you're looking at where you're standing right now, 3-1 in conference, this weekend, as sure we'll talk about, they have a chance to get bowl eligible for the first time since 2019. And you know, Troy plays at Louisiana this week, at UL this week. That's not an easy game. It's a night game. So if Troy were to lose that game, Southern Miss is now number one in the West. I mean, you just can't even fathom that almost. So, you know, but that's just overall thoughts. It just seemed to me like a complete reverse of what we've been seeing the whole season.
Absolutely. Wilkie throws that interception, and everybody in that stadium's thinking, oh, same old Eagle offense. And then all of a sudden, the defense gets a turnover on downs, and there you go, off to the races. Frank Gore throws a 52-yard touchdown. Zach Wilkie hits Jason Brownlee for a 76-yard touchdown. All of a sudden, it's 20-2 in the first quarter. Who expected that going into it?
Rip the under.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And then, yeah, the defense did enough. That wasn't the story for once. It's always nasty bunch. They played good, but the offense really got the job done, pardon me. I'm just going to take that. but, yeah, the offense got the job done. The second half, Will Hall talked about being conservative with the freshman quarterback. And, you know, it's hard to disagree with that logic, seeing as how Wilkie has played. You don't want to really put it on his shoulders. 55 total yards, I believe, in the second half. But they did just enough on a nationally televised stage to have an impressive win over the reigning Sun Belt champion. So that's a lot of momentum going into this weekend's Georgia State matchup.
Yeah, I was watching it from the stands.
We're in the stands.
Yeah, I was actually in the UL section. Oh. And okay, I will give you some insider information. Man, they were stunned. Like, it was. I think Southern Miss fans were too. But I mean, to put that display on a primetime kind of game, we hadn't seen anything like that from the offense, like y'all were saying. Mm-hmm. And this is what I was literally thinking. I was starting to think, you know, I think this whole time, I'll say we haven't been doubting Coach Hall, but we've been saying things that, you know, the offense is one-dimensional kind of stuff. And then I look at, like, the carry split here. They got so many different people involved today. And it's getting better and better each week. And I know it kind of sounded like coach speak when he said this team's going to be better in December mm-hmm. than when we start. But it's a clear progression each week. And, I mean, you said it, texted it. It's like, wow, this team is actually scary. Like, now that, like, this game, that's a scary team.
Yeah. And we've been saying it all season, if this team just had a quarterback, like, if they would have looked like that than they looked like last Thursday night, they probably could at least have a shot at being undefeated right now.
Yes, and just adding to that, I just want to state just the play calling in itself was phenomenal. I know one of the huge plays that really that just opened my eyes was the Frank Gore 52-yard touchdown.
Yeah, it was a perfect play call.
And it was what a ball. I'll just say that. That was a beautiful ball
right
there.
Great catch, too.
Yeah, by Mims. He looked like Tyreek Hill a little bit the way he burnt the receiver. But just starting off that game, like you all said, it felt like the same old Zach Wilkie started out with the interception.
First play of the game.
Yeah, first play of the game. Defense does what they do. They had that stop, and then eventually the defense really kicked it off, really and truly just set the tone of that game for me. And that was special to see. And then you had the Malik Shorts interception that led to the Janari Dean score. And then from there, things just went. The offense just picked it up for themselves, and they just started producing. And I was telling somebody, because I was actually on the sideline there, and I was telling actually Kendall Duncan from WDAM, I was like, if you told me before this season started that USM would be defeating, well, would be leading UL 20-2 in the first quarter, I would not believe you. I would think that you're telling, like, you know, a blank lie or something like that. So it was like, it was very surprising that the way that Southern Miss played, this team looked like a complete 180 of the team that they were at the beginning of the season, especially. And just the stars came out to play. And it's just props to some of the young guys like Ty Mims and Chandler Pittman, even there having a big contributed a little bit right there. So these guys are definitely maturing, and Will Hall with the combination of play calling, it was very interesting to see, and the way that it was mixed in together was very special. And this defense, like I said, we've been stating that for long, that it's something special, and they contributed a lot to the points there. And then the special teams got in a little bit there with the with the field position. So it's a complete 180 of what we stated, but at the beginning of the season. But it's good to see that this turnover is happening, and you can see that Coach Hall's philosophy is working on this team now. It seemed to be a little bit of we were like, okay, is it working? Maybe not, maybe so. But now this team is looking poised, and they understand that they can win, and they've got that confidence, and it shall be interesting to see now that they're competing right now for a conference title. Yeah. Right now, especially in that West Division. So,
yeah, and you know, I think it's interesting. I wasn't on the call this morning, but on the Zoom Belt coaches call that they do every mm-hmm. single week, the Zoom Belt, I said the Zoom Belt, the Sun Belt Zoom conference call.
Hey, it works though. Zoom Belt, Fun
yeah.
Belt,
yeah,
clown.
oh my God.
What was I even talking about? Coach Hall said, like, are, like, this weekend, like, how crazy is it that y'all are, like, can be, like, pretty good shot at being bowl eligible? They're 2.5-point favorites. That spread's moved up. And he said, we're not focused on that. We are focused on Georgia State. And that just, I remember asking Will Hall, Austin, you were there when we were at Sun Belt Media Day, and mm-hmm. said, when you're looking at this schedule, you know, who's the team that should, like, you're looking forward to playing? And he said, like, who's some matchups that stand out to you? And he said, Liberty. So they've always kept that, you know, one game at a time. Not even caring, not even thinking about a conference championship. They're not thinking about any of that. When we talked to the players last week after the game, they seem to be more on the, you know, ooh, yeah, it's a bowl. But it seems like me, it's all straightforward, and they're going to go into this game just the same as they went to Louisiana. And I just hope the fans are there, because if they get bowl eligible Saturday, that place might go nuts.
If I could just comment on the play calling real quick, mm-hmm. no, quick pivot. Frank Gore and Will Hall both said after the game that if there was no safeties on a super back, they were going to throw the ball. This was not the first time we've seen Frank Gore drop back to pass. A lot of times he had to scramble, but he had no safeties in the backfield and just threw it up to Ty Mims, and he made the catch. So, you know, going forward, they're going to drop some safeties back there. They might even go into nickel coverage, which I don't even know what that is. So they're going to open up some running games out of the super back, and it's only going to help the offense going forward.
Yeah, what's crazy about that is I was telling Jackson and Nathan on the postgame video, and I was like, you know who absolutely had no clue Frank Gore was fixing to throw the ball? Louisiana. Mm-hmm, yes. And so that's why it worked. He was just ran up the line, and obviously it seems like every time Frank Gore's in the super back, they're going to run the ball. So nobody really expected him to chunk it down the field like that, and just the most perfect ball, except for maybe the riders who are in the press box, because we knew he did it last year. Mm-hmm. But Louisiana had no idea he was fixing it.
I didn't have any idea. Yeah. I was like, what is he doing? I was like, oh my God, Ty Mims is open. I was like,
I thought he overthrew him, to be honest.
If we're doing a David Eckert Hattiesburg American grading the coaching, I think that gets an A+. Yeah. Because I think if any moment was indicative of, like, mm-hmm. how much, you know, that meant, was the broadcast showing Coach Hall and Coach Armstrong, mm-hmm. both guys, like we said in our preview, who have worked at Louisiana. They were, like, fired up. They hugged each other. They were just pumped up. Coach Hall was even after the game like doing this again.
Yeah.
That's a huge win. Like I don't even know. I mean, we talked about Tulane, but talking about the prestige that Louisiana has in the Sun Belt to win that game is huge. And now one game away from bowl eligibility is insane. It looks like I'm not gonna say that, but yeah, one game away.
Yeah, one game away as they we've stated. So will it happen against Georgia State upcoming this week? We will not know, but it will be on our prediction episode coming up later in the week that will air on Friday, so be sure to look out for that. So we will have our predictions on that, but it shall be interesting. Southern Miss football has definitely turned the tide in these last few games, so it shall be interesting going down the stretch. But we're going to go to break, and we'll be back after that with our flower section. Our flower segment brought to you by University Florists and Gifts on Highway 49 and our honorable mentions. So we'll be back for more on 4th Street. It's Halloween, baby. We'll be back.
Looking for the place to be at Mondays at 5? Look no further than 4th Street Sports.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the show. We're now giving flowers.
Welcome back to our flower section. As you know, our flower section is where we announce our 4th Street Player of the Week. And it would not be Halloween if we didn't have a unique special to our 4th Street Player of the Week. This is the first time that this is happening. So without further ado, I'll give a drum roll so Charlie announces this. So Charlie, you take it away.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I feel like it would have gone either way if we didn't do this, but we felt a certain way about this. So we went ahead and kind of overrided the democratic system we had in place.
Yeah, now for Republic.
Okay, Trump has entered. The 4th Street Player of the Week fan vote is Malik Shorts. And, I mean, any other week, that's the clear-cut winner. I mean, just an absolute dog. 11 tackles. One interception and another one on a two-point attempt.
Yeah.
A pass breakup and a quarterback hit. I mean, he was literally everywhere. So congrats to Malik Shorts. But we also want to give our flowers, like actual flowers this time, to Ryan Dupuy, because what he's done, I mean, I don't think people really understand how impressive it is. He's won two consecutive individual titles for men's golf, meaning the top golfer in both of those tournaments, and two straight tournaments. That's huge.
It's incredible.
He led Southern Miss to third place at the White Sands Bahamas invite. I mean, first place. So he really, I don't want to say carried them, but he's been killing it for them. So we really wanted to give him some flowers. Thanks to University Florist, gave us an extra bunch to give to him. So also giving Livy Wozniak, shout out for getting third place at the Sun Belt Championships. And then Frank Gore, of course. Frank Gore was nice. He was like, go vote for Malik. And everybody went and voted for Malik. So there you go. But he was also on the ballot himself. 52-yard touchdown pass and 87 rushing yards to the tally. And we also have some other shout outs I wrote down, if it will pull up. But congrats to Ilana Izquierdo, for being named second team All-Conference. They obviously have a game in an hour where Southern Miss might be able to get some more hardware. We'll see. We'll see, because, I mean, they have experience. I'm going to say that.
Yes, they do.
They're an experienced team. I know it wasn't the best year for them, but they are definitely capable of putting on a run.
Of course. So I just want to give a congratulations to all the names that Charlie just spoke of. So a round of applause for all of them on this special Halloween. If you're on the live stream right now, Charlie is bringing both of the flowers that we have for our co-4th Street Player of the Week with Malik Shorts and Ryan Dupuy. So
I think it's just a testament to what you said earlier about how great of a week it was in Southern Miss sports, and we have two 4th Street Player of the Weeks to show for it.
Yes. And this was a much needed win for Ryan Dupuy. It's just him winning two times in a row, first place. That's just crazy in golf, where it's like so many golfers. I think it's over like 100 plus golfers that are on the course at one time. So
it's just so hard to be that consistent in a golf match. Like that's incredible, honestly.
Yes, that's just an incredible feat. So congratulations to them all. Congratulations to everyone that was on the ballot. And last but not least, just another congratulations to Southern Miss Cross Country, the Southern Miss Cross Country team winning the Sun Belt Championship. For basically now, track and field and cross country now have won a championship in each of their last 3 years. So congratulations to the program, especially the cross country and track and field program right there. And congratulations to those ladies that took home that hardware. And to Nick Gibson, head coach Nick Gibson, in his in his first year, he's taken home hardware in both the indoor championships and now in cross country. And we have yet to be seen what happens in the indoor upcoming this year and outdoor. So congratulations to them on that. So any last words, guys, that you all have on the show or on this Halloween? Are y'all going trick-or-treating? Anybody?
No. We're going to a meeting.
We might steal some candy, but other than that, we're not trick-or-treating anymore.
Oh, man, we don't want to add to your rap sheet, man, so we don't want you to add to your rap sheet.
It wasn't me.
I'm gonna go eat a pineapple real quick.
Ah, yeah, of course.
I went to Hawaii.
You been to Hawaii?
I did go to Hawaii.
Did y'all know I played basketball for 8 years?
Yeah.
No way. You play golf too, don't you?
I do. Wow. I shot a 99. Do I get flowers?
Hey, maybe next time. But Demon Man, since you are Bruce Arians, man, and the Buccaneers are not doing so great, I just wanted to ask you, are you coming out of retirement?
Well, I'm not Bruce Arians. I didn't know who that really was until I walked in here.
Oh my God, you're not supposed to admit that, bro.
I just found this hat and I was like, cool. Maybe I should just wear it for 4th Street because I was a gangster, but I didn't feel like putting on a suit.
It's kind of a testament to your coaching ability, because now that you're gone, Tom Brady looks like as bad as that loser Aaron Rodgers.
Ooh. Wow. And, man, the low blows by Jackson, they just keep rolling in,
Why
man.
Specifically Green Bay, might I ask?
I'm innocent.
Okay. Oh, my God. Free you till it's backwards. So, but before we move on, Nathan, man, get in here, man, and talk about your costume, man.
Yeah, we got to see it. The fans got to see this.
Yes. Yes. I'm Batman, y'all.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, there we go.
You gotta protect the city.
Oh man, you have to protect the city, man. The call is going out. It's almost nighttime. The Joker might be out.
Sitting next to me out there. And I don't know what Austin is over here.
Yeah, man. So, actually, this is my costume that I had. So, my fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha, won the Step Show. And I have on my Step Show costume, which is our theme, which was Soul Train. So, I'm a jive turkey on Soul Train. So, I might hit a cute couple moves after the show. But I'm going to hand it over to Charlie before we get out of here.
For a
because
solo,
he
right?
has, yes, a song, a 4th Street song. And we're having our first concert on 4th Street. But Charlie is a Hawaiian guy. So he has a ukulele. So we're going to get a song from Charlie, guys. Let's give it up to him.
I want to say thank you for joining 4th Street. Mondays at 5.
What is happening?
Follow us on social media. Mahalo.
Mahalo.
We got Mo Dogs.
Mo Dogs. Malik Shorts won. Mo Dogs.
Malik Shorts won.
Of course. So that has been our outro. We'll be back next week, as Charlie stated, Mondays at 5. Be sure to check us out on YouTube at Southern Miss Student Media and continue to follow us on all our social platforms so that you stay updated on Southern Miss Athletics. So we'll be back next week for our next show, but this has been a special episode. We had Gabe on earlier. We want to thank him for coming on. And without further ado, this has been a spooktacular 4th Street show. Enjoy your day. If you're going trick-or-treating or not, whatever you do, enjoy it. We'll be back next week.
3, 2, 1. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next Monday at 5.